Hello, good evening. Welcome to, last third of November 2024, it's the 20th. And good evening. Nice to chat with you tonight. Let us get our groove and our philosophy on. Let's hope we don't explode into radioactive nitrogen shadows before the end of the show. It'd be nice to finish this shit off before the fucking sociopaths in power blow us all sky. Remember all those plans you had? Might be a bit on hold because they can't stop themselves from trying to start World War III. Well, maybe we'll meet in the great beyond. Jeff says, good evening, Savan. My wife and I are welcoming our third child into the world tomorrow. Put another point in the Peacefully Parented Generation column, just wanted to say thank you for all that you do, especially for showing us a better way when it comes to parenting. Yeah, it's funny, I did a whole series of parenting back in 2006. My 2006 rants are old enough to vote now. Isn't that nice? Thank you, Zimf. Bought the toolkit I needed to start my business. Nervous but optimistic. You are welcome. Then I hope that you'll keep us posted about how it's going. And congratulations, of course. A zillion fold. Thank you. And congratulations on your child. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right. What have we got? You're the greatest of all time. Well, thank you. No explodey, please. You know, that's pretty much the chant of people who have premature elaboration. No explodey, please. At least not quite yet. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your support. And, questions, comments, issues, and challenges. And if you don't, I certainly have a thought or two. Somebody said, it's a good quote here, in my final meeting with my employer, where they asked if I had changed my mind regarding taking the vax, I asked them if anyone else working for them had communicable diseases like HIV or hepatitis. They said, well, they couldn't disclose that information because it was personal. I then asked why they weren't fired for having a lifelong communicable disease, but I was being fired for an illness that, if caught, lasts only a couple of days. They were silent. What they did to people like myself and countless others was not only outright discrimination, but it was criminal. It must never, ever happen again. But as long as it happens, as long as the state allows you to profit of evil, as long as the state is the final subsidy for evil, evil will continue, and there will be no escape. Somebody asks, Anthony says, do you do your own home gardening? Just curious. I do. I have a patch, fairly large patch, and I plant. We have a chain link fence around it to keep wildlife out. And I weed and all of that kind of stuff. So yes, I do. I absolutely love the food that comes out of that. I just love the food that comes out of your own garden. It really is the best. I got into this many, many years ago. I'm a big salad guy, love salads. And my wife is a whiz with salads because she's a vegetarian. And her Greek salad is just fantastic. Not the kind of thing you'd get in a restaurant. It's onions, tomatoes, feta cheese, and oil. Ah, so good. It's so good. So your fresh lettuce from your garden is unmatched. Unparalleled, my friend. Unparalleled. Yeah, I love it. It's good to stay close to land, and it's good to remember where, in fact, food comes from. Just an important thing to remember as a whole. All right. Did you know Bitcoin is now worth more than the top three global banks combined? Bitcoin, $1.85 trillion. JP Morgan Chase, $684 billion. Bank of America, $356 billion. IC Bank of China, $280 billion. Fuck the banks. Go gold. Go orange man bad, orange cash good. Oh my gosh. Bitcoin is now worth more than JP Morgan, Visa, and MasterCard combined. 1.86 trillion for Bitcoin. This is slightly different times, of course. 1.76 trillion for JP Morgan, Visa, and MasterCard. The fastest growing asset in the history of the planet. And they're still, it's so early. The number of users of Bitcoin is about equal to the number of users of the internet in 1999. The DNC has announced they're laying off long-term permanent staffers with just one day's notice and no severance pay after overwhelming election losses. Didn't they spend $1 billion in 100 days and ended up $20 million in debt? Oh, well, she can always fight Jake Paul to get her money back. Oh my.
It's just oats.
Food delivery.
It's not even hot.
Sorry. I just panicked a little. You know how sensitive I am. Now listen, just before you go, I just had okay, you can eat the apple. Now Izzy has learned something about trolling, I assume from the internet, certainly not from me, little old me. Would you like to reveal your latest troll that actually occurred just before you come a little closer, come to here. The latest troll that occurred just before the show.
So basically earlier today, or I don't know, I think it was yesterday, you had half a banana.
Yeah.
And didn't eat the other half. So it was just in the fridge, even though that's kind of diabolical. So I took it upon myself, because wrapped up, just in its peel.
Yeah, it's in its peel.
In
yeah.
the fridge. In the not peel. On a plate.
I just didn't want to finish it last night. I was full.
Yeah. So I took I just took a little chunk off and then put it back. So when he opened
it, so you cut the top off and then you put it back. So then when I ate to eat my banana, it launched itself at me like a Scud missile of potassium.
It gently dropped on the floor.
But it almost hit my toe.
Oh, no.
I could have been potassium toad. Monstrous. Anyway, that's just important to remember. Thank you for the snack. I begged Izzy not to get me something crunchy. Bags.
No, you were like, what's the worst thing I could possibly eat on this show?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Bye. Oh, you can close that. Yeah, thanks. Ah, delightful. Somebody says, Denise says, I'm making this right now with oats too. It's good. You should try it out. Thank you. I will pass, before I forget, I will pass that recipe. Thank you, Denise. Peanut brittle topped banana. That's your passive aggressive, approach to your dentist, right? Just have a whack load of peanut brittle right before you go in. From a listener. Thank you. I appreciate that. Steph could have slipped Mario Kart style. No, is he? Mario Kart. I could have slipped a Mario Kart and a banana. Sorry. I've been reading this novel with my family. We sort of read it out loud. And I am king of cheesy, outrageous accents. And there's Enzo, is the Italiano. It's just everything has to be like, hey, like I'm casting a magic fingertip spell of delusion. Lower intestines with the hands. Right, so. All right. Even if the U.S. owned all 21 million Bitcoin, which is impossible, they would have to sell them all for 1.7 million U.S. to pay the current debt. I think this rate is going to be worth more than 1.7 million, in my humble opinion. You can't own 21 million Bitcoin, of course, because what is it, 25 or 28% of them lost? Like 25, a quarter of them are estimated to be lost. Who knows for sure, but estimated to be lost. Is there a real plan to pay the national debt with Bitcoin? I've been out of the loop since I've been rather busy. Well, I mean, not a real plan, but it's a pretty good approach. It's a pretty good approach. All right. I don't like salads because of all the work to cut and make them. I like eating whole vegetables. Excellent. You should post a picture of the salad sometimes. I'm so jealous of people who can make a good Greek salad. Oh, I will. I absolutely will. Thank you. Michael Saylor says Bitcoin is going to be worth 13 million per coin. Well, I mean, you've got to get, in the long run, we either end up, like, it's Bitcoin or nothing, right? You understand? It's Bitcoin or bust. Like, we either end up with Bitcoin or the world is in flames. So, yeah, Satoshi's wallet is like 1.1 million, right? And the remainder won't be mined till like 2140. Yeah, but I mean, that's diminishing returns, right? There's very few left towards the end, right? The halving and the double work requirements. That's a very different thing, right? Who needs Uber Eats when you have Izzy? Yes, that's right. That's right. It's very funny. She is very funny with her little practical jokes. It's very good. Somebody says, sorry about the other day. In a rush to get my question out, I didn't word the question properly. And you're right, we must represent your views correctly. Steph has often mentioned siblings in her life longer than anyone, so it's sad that some siblings either neglect each other or can be quite spiteful. However, many siblings also have loving relationships. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how many siblings or how many people have you met who have great relationships with their siblings? I mean, other than the Tates, it seems. And just by the by, right? I mean, I don't know if you've been following any of this, but according to Andrew Tate, and I'm pretty sure he's not lying about this, according to Andrew Tate, the Romanian government has said that the majority of the evidence that was gathered against him was illegal, unsubstantiated, and the witnesses did not appear to be overly credible, to put it mildly. And I think they've got a couple of days to revise it, but that's probably going to be dropped, and that is important. That's so good. And that is important. Yeah, I think Max Kaiser gave Alex Jones a bunch of Bitcoin. However, of course, they would have just ended up in the hands of the Sandy Hook lawyers, right? So I don't view that as a huge loss. Boomers would probably just get mad that the younger generation figured out how to unfuck their mess. Well, that's the argument, right? The boomers can say, well, you have to pay five times for a house. And the younger generation can say, okay, boomer, you just have to pay 100 times or 1,000 times for a Bitcoin. Max works for Gary. Max Kaiser? I don't know what that means. All right. Let's see. What else did I have stored that might be of interest to you? It is wild to see the leftists using the against me argument, which I've recommended to non-leftists and leftists too, for decades. It's fascinating to see them use the I'm not going to have anything to do with you against me argument, right? That if it's not, oh, they're not just political. There's no such thing as political differences. I mean, that's like calling being pro or anti-rape just dating differences. It's like, no. There's pro-violence and there's anti-violence. There's pro-peace and there's anti-peace. There's pro-reason and then there's pro shooting people. There's nothing else, right? Reason or violence, negotiation or brutality, changing people's minds or throwing them in rape cages. I mean, that's all there is. That's all there is. And it's really sad. You know what? It's really sad to me that people say, well, it would be so petty to break relationships with people based on mere political differences. You know, political differences get people killed. Political differences get people thrown in jail. Political differences are why there are concentration camps and fucking gulags. Mad. Now, have you seen this thing where it's sort of on social media, a little bit all over the place. And what it is all of these sex workers coming on the internet to say how much they know about men. How much they know about men. Oh, man, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. People who go, and I've talked to a bunch of listeners who go to sex workers, and of course I have great sympathy for their childhoods and all of that, for sure. But holy crap, I mean, it is really, really dysfunctional to go to a sex worker. To get sexual pleasure out of somebody who has been abused for the most part and may currently be being abused, and I get there's some laziness in it and all of that, but it's really messed up, man. It's really messed up. Yeah, political process has the power to send people to war. It has the power to enslave your children. Financially, it has the power to indoctrinate, to set children against the political power. Oh, it's just a difference of political opinion. There are no political opinions. Everything is force. I don't know why this needs to be said in the world. Everything is force. There's no political opinions. Well, it's just a difference of opinion. You know, the guy with the knife in my ribs just has a difference of opinion about where my wallet should be. It's just a difference. Live and let. It's just, why would you get so hung up over these petty differences of opinion? Bullshit. It's all force. It's all violence. Or anti-violence. That's it. That's it. I mean, let's say your kids have a little lemonade stand, right? A little lemonade stand on the corner. And let's say they make 50 bucks, right? They sell 100 drinks over the course of a hot, sweaty day for 50 cents, and they make 50 bucks, right? That's a lot of work, right? Right? 20 drinks an hour, that's 5 hours, right? So they sell, and they make 50 bucks, and they're incredibly proud, pleased, happy, excited. They made 50 bucks. And let's say your neighbor pushes your children's lemonade stand over and steals their 50 bucks. And you see this, right? They're down on the corner, and you see your neighbor, he's an adult, right? And he pushes their lemonade stand over and he takes their 50 bucks and they're crying. Would you still be friends with your neighbor after he stole $50 from your children? The fuck is wrong with people? I mean, I'm talking to you guys because you get it, but like, do you not understand? Pushes over your kid's lemonade stand, takes their 50 bucks out of their hand, pries it out of their hands, leaves them crying and sobbing on the ground. And you'd be like, oh, he's totally welcome to my next barbecue. It's just a difference of opinion about entrepreneurship. We just have differences of opinions. That's it. Jesus. You know, these statist assholes are having your children born $1 million in debt, right? Million? Slightly more than 50 fucking dollars. It's like people are so concrete. Well, you know, if my neighbor took 50 bucks from my kids, I'd be incensed. He wouldn't be welcome in my home anymore. I'd have fuck all to do with him. He's not coming over to my barbecue. I'm not. Jesus. The fuck, 50 bucks is meaningless relative to the destruction that the state does to children as a whole. But it's just a difference of political opinion. I wouldn't want to be petty. Oh, I'm such a large heart. Minded, tolerant person that even though people are advocating for a system that enslaves my children about a zillion times more than the $50, I'd be incensed at the $50. But the $1 million and the propaganda and the drugging and the hacking, oh no, that's it's just a difference of opinion. It's like circumcision. Well, it's just a difference of opinion. Yeah, with a dick saw. Hacking off a third of the penis skin, lowering sexual pleasure, harming the woman's vagina because of a lack of sheathing of the penis thrusting. Nah, it's just a difference of opinion.
I'm open-minded. Yes, you're so open-minded, your fucking brain fell out. I wouldn't want to let mere political differences get in the way of a good relationship. I wouldn't want to let a mere $50 being stolen from my hard-working children. Let's say your kid goes to school with $10 for lunch, and every day, some kid pushes him in the mud and takes his money. Well, you've got to be friends with that kid, you know, boy, son, you've got to be friends with that, because it's just a difference of opinion on property. He just has a difference of opinion about where your $10 it should be. It's just it's a matter, I mean, he likes red, you like blue, you like peace, he likes violence. He's a thief, you're not, but it's just all differences of opinion, because everything apparently on the right is just an opinion. Dear God above, dear God above, thou shalt not steal! Oh, but all the people who advocate theft from the unborn, oh no, that's just a difference of opinion. It's not an opinion. If you're a Christian, It's a commandment. It's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. Is that not a little bit more than an opinion? Every week you've got the government stealing 20 to 30% out of your paycheck. It's a lot more than that, brother. That's just the shit you see. It's a lot more than that. I mean, imagine someone who drugged someone and then cut off their foreskin. Or maybe they didn't even drug them, just kind of strapped them down, cut off their foreskin. That would be assault. No, it is just a difference of opinion. Like, you don't know the younger among us here. The younger among us here. Sadly, you don't know how much you've lost. It's terrible. My first job, I got paid $2.45 an hour. Right? Got paid $2.45 an hour. Now, you could buy a candy bar for 10 cents. So I could buy 24.5, give or take, right? Some tax, right? Just raw cost, right? 24.5 candy bars, right? Now candy bars are about a buck and a quarter, which means that the starting wage for an 11-year-old kid should be almost $31. But instead, it's not, right? I mean, what is minimum wage up here in Ontario is like 16 and change. Dollar's lost 25% of its value over the last half decade. Well, it's just a difference of opinion, though. I think I should keep the fruits of my labor. They think I'm a fiat fucking slave. It's just a difference of opinion. You know, like some guy, you got your safety deposit box and some guy drills in and takes half your shit. And it's like, well, it's just a difference of opinion. I think I should keep my family heirlooms and my sentimental items, and he thinks he should sell them for drugs. It's just a difference of opinion, man. Oh, this tolerance. Just say, I'm scared. Just be honest. I'm chicken. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm frightened. I don't want to upset people. I don't want to call people immoral. Okay, just be honest. That's all I'm asking. Just stop lying and saying you're tolerant. You're just chicken shit. That's all. That's all. It's not tolerance. You're just frightened. And listen, I'm fine that you're frightened. I'm fine that you're frightened. Not everyone is built for war. I get that. Not everyone is built for intellectual combat. I get that. I have no problem with it. Just don't use the stolen valor. Don't say that you're a warrior of tolerance.
Ugh.
I mean, literally, it makes my gorge rise. It makes my gorge rise. Just say, I'm chicken. I'm going to let other people do it because I'm frightened. And that's fine. I'm not complaining about the fact that some people are too chicken to take our moral courses. Chicken, of course, is a prejudicial phase. Too circumspect. They have too much discretion. It's fine. Not everyone is built for intellectual combat. That's fine. Then get out of the way and stop clogging up everyone's brains. See, honest cowardice doesn't infect others. Dishonest cowardice does. So dishonest cowardice is when it reframes itself as a virtue and thus infects other people and takes them down. If you don't want to be my ally, that's fine. But don't strip me of other allies by talking about the virtues of tolerance. Tolerance is earned by people who are tolerant. Right? I mean, if my deplatforming didn't teach people that tolerance was not a virtue, I don't know what will. But that's the problem, is that if you're honest about being too nervous or frightened or wishing to be inoffensive and not upset people, that's fine. Then just be honest and say, you know, it's not for me. I mean, I like my peace and quiet. I'm going to let other people do the fight, other people do the battle. Maybe I'll support them in the background, but right? But no. They can't just say, I'm chicken. They say, cowardice is a virtue. Cowardice reframed as tolerance. That's a virtue. And then they fuck everyone else up. That's the problem. You're spreading your cowardice by reframing it as a virtue. That bothers me enormously. That's the problem. Your kids are crying because the neighbor stole their money. And you're like, well, it's important to be tolerant. He just has a difference of opinion from you kids. It's wrong for you to be upset because that means that you're not going to be tolerant. All right. Question from Rumble. Catching Alive stream. I asked this in the comments of your last live as it was going to be 2 a.m. here for the live. Here's my question. I would love if you could touch on the talk you had with your daughter a few years back when she was becoming a young teen about what it means to head into teen/adulthood as an attractive female. She says, I'm female and didn't handle it the best way when I was young. My daughter just turned 12 years old and is very pretty, so I'd love to hear you take on all of this stuff. By the way, my husband, her dad, and I are still married and have a good, happy relationship. Both sets of grandparents and all family members are all in stable, long-term relationships. Right. I appreciate that. So I'm not going to give you my direct speech in particular to my daughter, because that's obviously specific to what I know about her and so on. But I will say that for young women, for young ladies, you have a power granted to you by nature. You didn't earn it, right? So boys want to kiss girls, and that's nothing wrong with that. It's a very healthy and positive thing. It's, you know, where we all end up coming from is from the kissing and all of that. So boys really want to kiss girls, and you didn't earn that. And whatever you didn't earn, try not to profit from. If you didn't earn it, try not to profit from it, because it's kind of like a pillage, right? Like, I mean, if you find a wallet on the street with like $200 in it, you shouldn't just take the money and spend the money, because you didn't earn it. You just kind of found it by accident, or you landed into your life by accident. And that's kind of what prettiness is. Nothing wrong with prettiness. Prettiness is a beautiful thing in the world. It's a lovely thing in the world. You should be happy and work to maintain your health and your attractiveness as a whole throughout your life. It's a beautiful thing, but don't think that it makes you better or special or valuable just because nature has implanted in boys, against their will, I might add, which is, again, not to say that there's anything wrong with it, but it's against their will. And, you know, so for instance, I would say something like, when you were younger, right, when you were a girl, and the boys were playing baseball, let's say you were 7 or 8, maybe 9, and the boys were playing baseball and you wanted to join, they were, you know, maybe they were nice about it, but they weren't super keen, right? Because you were a girl and maybe you couldn't throw as well or hit as well or run as well for whatever reason, right? So they were kind of not that keen on you. And then, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, it all flips and the boys become girl crazy, the girls become boy crazy a bit. And it's a beautiful thing. It's something to embrace and enjoy and be happy about. It's why life is here. It's everything in life is trying to make more life and all of that. But it doesn't make you better. Because when the boys didn't want you to join the baseball game because they were like, oh, does your little sister have to play? Come on, man. Right? So you haven't fundamentally changed from the age of 8 to the age of 13. But boys' relationships to you has fundamentally changed. That's programmed into us. Right? Like if you're walking down the street, you see all these restaurants. Why are the restaurants there? Because we get hungry. We're programmed to eat, right? So our bodies are like, hey, we need some food. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start eating your belly, right? It would be more than a snack for me. But we're programmed to get hungry. We're programmed to get thirsty. So there are people who sell bottles of water. There are people who sell hot dogs and different kinds of food. And that's just programmed into us. When we're tired, we want to lie down. We want to have a nap. We want to sleep or whatever it is, right? It's just programmed into us. And wanting to, like, liking girls in a romantic way, wanted to kiss girls and so on, it's just programmed into boys. And it's a beautiful part of life, but it doesn't make you valuable because boys are programmed to want to kiss you or want to chase you or ask you out. Again, it's not a bad thing. It's a good and beautiful thing, but it's shared by everyone. And because otherwise you'd have to say, well, I guess I was just a really negative kid when I was 8 and the boys didn't want me to play baseball. And now that I'm 13 or 14 or 15, it's a positive thing. Like that's too much of a roller coaster, right? It wasn't that the boys disliked you before and now because you were bad and now they like you because you're good. But it's really easy to get vanity and to feel like you're special because of things you didn't earn, right? And now you're a pretty girl. That's great. That's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing and so on. But you know, you didn't really earn that. That's just kind of built in. Of course, you earn it, you maintain your weight, you're healthy and all of that. And that's good. You can certainly be proud of the things that you do earn, such as healthy weight and exercise and all of that. But in the great game of romance, we are basically run by, you know, hormones within the body, right? And again, I'm not trying to diminish it or make it a bad or negative thing. I'm just saying that the fact that hormones get activated in boys doesn't substantially change your value as a human being. Just because you're being chased doesn't mean that it's a good thing. I mean, zebras are chased by lions. That doesn't mean that the zebras want to be caught or necessarily it's a good thing, right? So enjoy the dating, enjoy the boys, enjoy the attention, but recognize that it doesn't fundamentally change your moral nature. It doesn't change your value in a foundational way because the value that you want to get out of life is doing the right thing and being good. And that you earn, right? Every moral choice you make, every good choice you make, that you earn. But the fact that there's a big spigot that turns on boys' desire to chase and kiss girls doesn't fundamentally change your value, but it's really easy to think that it does. And that's not a good thing, though. That's not a good thing in the long run. So I hope that helps. And if you didn't get it now, perhaps you can get it later. All right, let's see here. Somebody says, I was spanked as a child a few times and have spanked my 3 of 4 children. I have no trauma from this. I have followed you for years and respect your opinion. My question, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong? I don't know. Where's the end of that? Oh, you're very welcome. And if there's more that I can do, freedomain.com/call, I'd be very happy to help out. So if you were spanked a few times, I mean, if it was just swats on the butt and so on, I can certainly understand that there wouldn't be any deep, significant, lasting trauma out of that. But the question is, if you had parents willing to hit you, and if you're willing to hit your child, what other effect does that have, right? I mean, let's take a silly and extreme example. Some guy kills a hobo, right? You say, well, but I only killed one. like 99.9999999% of my life, I wasn't killing anyone. It's just one time, right? Well, but that's kind of important because that is the tip of the iceberg of the whole personality structure that's willing to kill someone, bury the body, cover it up, not confess, not take your punishment, and move on, right? So it's more the manifestation of hitting and the justification for hitting. It's an indication of an entire personality structure, right? So if your parents hit you, say, 5 times from the age of, 5 to 10 or whatever, they hit you once a year. Okay, that's obviously, you probably get more injuries learning how to ride a bike. But it's the fact that your parents are willing to hit you and what that tells you about your parents, right? Right, that it's what it tells you about that they're willing to use violence, that they're in a sense eager to use violence, and they think it's the good thing and the right thing to do, which means that violence remains omnipresent, right? If you have a husband who beats the hell, or let's say punches his wife or hits his wife only once a year, do you think that the rest of her year is like he didn't hit her? No. The rest of her year is, I don't know when it's coming back. I know he justifies it. I know he wants to do it. I know he thinks it's the right thing to do to, quote, discipline me, right? What's that old grim, horrible joke about why does the woman have 2 black eyes? Someone had to tell her twice. So it's not the momentary act of being hit that is the issue. The issue is what it tells you about your parents as a whole, and their willingness to use a violence to get their way, to force you to obey, right? If a manager screams at you, right? Some manager like screams at you in public or in some big meeting or whatever, only once a year, do you think that for the rest of your year working with that manager in the room, that you're exactly the same as if he'd never yelled at you? Of course not. Of course not, right? So, all right. Somebody says, and tips, of course, more than welcome. You can tip at freedomain.com/donate. So you can tip here on the website, Locals and Rumble, you can tip. So I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Somebody writes, a few Wednesday nights live ago, a listener named Jo asked how to vet a woman. After listening to this, I had an idea. My son just turned 3 months old, and I think it would be a great idea to pass along lessons I get from watching your show. As he grows up, I will have many chats with him about life, dating, business, and most importantly, how to find the right woman. What I am considering is creating an email account for him now and emailing him from time to time as he grows up and when he's of age, 16 or so, giving him access to the account. What are your thoughts? That's fine. That's a great speech. I've got it bookmarked. Jimmy says, hey, I'm a father of a 16-year-old daughter. How would you vet potential boyfriends for your daughter? How would you vet potential? Well, I mean, it's interesting because now that things are online, boys and girls will chat to each other without having to come to the house. Now, if a boy comes to the house, I could chat with him. I can get to know him and so on, which I've done. But because boys and girls chat with each other, right, you can ask your kids, hey, what did you chat about? What did you guys do? And so on. And to me, the major vetting thing is, are they aware of quirks or negatives in the family? Most normie families have quirks and negatives. I mean, most families do as a whole. And I guess even I have quirks and negatives in that peaceful parenting makes your kids very different from the average, right? So there's a bit of a negative to that, for sure, right? So you're teaching them Esperanto when everyone else is speaking Klingon or something, right? So I am always curious, or I think it's worth being curious. Oh, what did you chat about? Oh, what's his family like? What are his perspectives on his family? And so on. And every family has their quirks. And if he's like, oh yeah, my family has these quirks and so on, it's not my particular cup of tea or whatever. And that's just, and here are the positives and here are the good things and so on. Do they have a realistic and objective view of their family? Because of course you can't, I'm saying this very clearly, you can't judge people by the families they have. You certainly can't judge teenagers by the family they have because it's not their fault or to their benefit that they have those families, right? So, but I think trying to have a sense of whether they have a clear-eyed views of the pluses and minuses of the family, I think it's really, really good.
really, really good. All right. So that, I think, is fundamental vetting.
But the vetting that you do is, I mean, you don't need to give, if you raise your kids speaking English, right, you don't need to give them tests on how well or how badly they speak English. Like, they're just going to speak English. I mean, not when they're young, right? They're just going to speak English because that's what you speak. And they're going to read books because you read books. And they just become really good at English that way, right? If that makes sense. So the way that you vet boyfriends is you have, you know, a great relationship with your spouse, and you have a great relationship with your kids. And so your kids grow up speaking, you know, peace and reason and happiness and enthusiasm in their relationships. And then that's just what they speak, and that's what they're used to. And so if there's someone dysfunctional who comes along, it's very clear and it's very evident, in the same way that if you only speak one language and somebody comes speaking to you in a foreign language, you understand that you don't understand them, right? Somebody, you speak English, somebody comes along and speaks Hungarian to you or something, you're like, you know, you may be vaguely able to identify it as an Eastern European language because of the amount of goulash and cauliflower between the teeth. But if a dysfunctional person comes along and starts trying to hang out with your kid who's been raised in sort of peace and reason and positivity, they just won't really have anything in common. They won't have much to say. And there may be some sort of delicacy about disengaging or whatever it is, but they just, I mean, the best way to vet boys is to raise your kids in a happy, loving, affectionate, positive, reasonable relationship. And then they won't speak that other language. And they'll recognize that something is different. They may not know exactly what it is, but they'll recognize that it doesn't fit with them. There's no vetting later on. There's really only vetting earlier. Right. Jimmy, does that help as a whole? And I really, like, these parenting questions are absolutely fantastic. And I really, really do appreciate that. Oh, Bitcoin hit its all-time high. All right. The trust and safety with the parent is gone, and the bond is compromised once the child knows the parent is willing to use violence. Well, it's the continually willing to use violence that's the issue. It's the continually willing. So if somebody, I don't know, like some parent like smacks the kid or whatever, and then it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, that was the worst thing. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well then trust can be restored. Like, we all make mistakes, right? That's a pretty big one. But, you know, it's the fact that when you justify something, the trust is gone, right? I hope to be a great father like you one day. I question if I'll get there though. Well, that's good. You should question if you'll get there. If it's any consolation, I still question whether I'm doing the right thing sometimes. So that's good. Questioning whether you'll get there is fantastic because it means that you'll keep working to be better, right? You'll keep working to get better. Don't forget, fdrurl.com/TikTok to join the TikTok. It would really, really be nice to help drive up the views a little bit over there. And it's a really good. So tiktok.com/@freedomain.com. Every time you talk about Bitcoin, it pumps, Dev. I like to pump it, pump it. All right. Please don't stop talking about it, even in your sleep. Maybe. What is it? The people who abandoned me on deplatforming lost 7 times increase in value. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think easy 100K by Christmas, probably more. In my view, it's just my opinion. Not investment advice. Do your own research, make your own decisions. Somebody said, oh, Anthony says, my dad would always follow up his threats with being forced to listen to and accept his rushed apologies and was very overly sentimental and contradictory, especially to my 6 to 7 year old mind. Yeah. A power tends to corrupt, and there is almost no greater power in the world than that of a parent over his child. Almost no greater power. That's rough, man. And you absolutely have to resist that power and say that my power exists to serve
those you have power over.
All right, so CryptoT _ on X wrote today, ETFs bought 9,000 Bitcoin yesterday. Only 450 new Bitcoin were created. This is what a supply shock looks like. And read this again, because it's just math, right? ETFs bought 9,000 Bitcoin yesterday, and only 450 new Bitcoins were created. This is what a supply shock looks like. So you understand, that's a 20-to-1. Yeah, it's exactly 20-to-1, 450 into 9,000. Yes, 450 times 10 would be 4,500 times 20 is 9,000. So that's a 20-to-1 demand to supply ratio. That's a 20-to-1 demand to supply ratio.
I can't, how could it be more clear? How could it be more clear? Let's look at this. Americans have $1.17 trillion worth of debt on Visa and MasterCard. Okay, brothers and sisters, help me out here. Help me out here. Help me out here. Do you have significant credit card debt? Do you have significant credit card debt? I drop my fork 1 second here while you answer. And by significant, I don't know whatever that means, $500 or more. Like, do you have some significant credit card debt? Which is another way of asking, are you ridiculous, right? Again, unless there's some massive emergency, whatever, right? You need to pay rent and you put it on your credit card because you're between jobs or something like that. Do you have significant credit card debt? While we're waiting for those answers, if you had a boy, do you think you'd play cops and robbers with him and shoot BB guns and cool masculine stuff like that? I would follow my child's lead. Some boys are into that stuff and some boys are not, right? I mean, you wouldn't want this, obviously, you don't want this just big giant monolith of like boyness. But yeah, I would absolutely play cops and robbers and BB guns and stuff like that would be excellent. My daughter really got into sort of this fantasy, this like medieval fantasy role-playing stuff, which we did for years and years. And it's just kind of tailing off now. And I have massive, joyful, happy memories of all of the stuff. I mean, she ran for mayor of a town, and we went through the whole process of running for mayor and raising money and interviewing all the townspeople, trying to get their votes and sabotage from the media. Like, we went through the whole, like, it was just an amazing thing. That was like a significant chunk of her homeschooling. So she was into that kind of stuff. Some girls wouldn't be. She's gone through more girly phase. She went through a tomboy phase. Now she's back in a girly phase. And so you just follow the kid's lead. I mean, if he wanted to do that kind of stuff, we would. If he wanted to do other stuff that was more indoors, we would do that too. So somebody says, I haven't visited my parents in almost 3 weeks and never want to again, but I still feel guilty and don't want to unleash my full anger towards them. Okay, so when you say I don't want to unleash my full anger towards them, I assume that means in your mind, right? Because you're not seeing them. Is that right? So you can unleash your full anger towards your parents in your mind, right? In role plays, you can write things down and burn them if you want to. You can, yell into pillows, whatever it is, right? I mean, when I unleashed my full anger towards my mother, it was very, very violent in my mind. Obviously, I didn't, do anything or say anything to her. But in my mind, it was very violent, which is, I mean, because she was very violent towards me, I needed a form of self-defense in my mind to make sure nothing like that was ever going to happen to me again. So you build your immune system, right? Like, you know how the traditional virus is, it's a deactivated virus that your immune system recognizes and learns how to push back. So when the real thing comes along, so just thinking about your anger towards if your parents were abusive, which of course I have huge sympathy. But if you think about your anger towards your parents, and it's all just in your mind, you don't yell at them, you don't confront them directly or whatever, right? I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't. Don't use anything violent. You can yell at people. That's not violent. But if you just work with it in your mind, what happens is that's like a deactivated virus stimulating your immune system. So if you just kind of yell at your parents in your mind or write things down or whatever it is, right? Then that's practicing for a repudiation of brutality, exploitation, and violence. And that way, if it ever comes into your life again, then you'll be ready and prepared in the same way your immune system is when it's modeled its reactions on a deactivated virus. It's a safe way to build up immunity to the problem of violence and exploitation. So yeah, I haven't visited my parents almost 3 weeks and never went to again, but I still feel guilty. I call bullshit. With all due respect and affection, I call bullshit. Not that you're lying. No, you don't feel guilty. You are programmed to serve people who exploit you, particularly parents, right? So it's not that you feel guilty. It's just that you have landmines put into your head by your parents to make you feel negative if you're not serving their needs. Right? See, also patriotism, right? So if you're not serving the needs of those who are exploiting you, then you feel bad. And the reason for that was that it's very dangerous to not serve the needs of selfish parents when you're a kid. Like, it's really dangerous. So you will have a negative experience if you're not serving their needs as a child to protect yourself against the escalation from exploitation and some violence to abandonment or overt violence, which, you know, we're sort of programmed to avoid at all costs because that would be the end of us. So it's not like you feel guilty, like you just, I just have this guilt. It's just me. This is all just implanted in you, right? It's all just implanted in you so that you can be, well, so that you can avoid the escalation of danger that comes with being exploited. And so you continue to serve, like, you continue to serve those who, like, we're not designed for these kinds of choices. We're not designed to be like, oh, okay, I was raised in this shitty tribe, this underworld, this trash planet, these dungeons. I was raised in these orc mines. Well, you're supposed to forever be in the orc mines. You're supposed to forever live in trash planet, in the trailer park, like whatever cliche. We're not supposed to break out. I'm not supposed to be here. Are you kidding me? I was raised in a violent, deranged, like literally both parents institutionalized in mental institutions. Violence, terror, poverty, chaos, fear, aggression, screaming, messy relationships everywhere. And it wasn't just like, you don't just live like that in a bubble. Like, you're not just on some lovely suburban street. Everyone around you is like that because like attracts like. You're in a whole different world. You're in a whole different world. You know, like these different dimensions. Oh, you portal to another dimension. Well, because you live in these like trash, medium, excellent, like you just live in these bubbles because you don't touch each other in any substantial way. And you're supposed to be born, be raised, live, reproduce, get old and die in the same bubble, right? You understand, you and I were never supposed to get out. Never, never, never. We're not designed to get out. Society doesn't work very well if we get out. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be back there in Trash Planet, pompous, vainglorious, self-aggrandizing, touchy, volatile, aggressive, maybe addicted. I'm not supposed to be here. According to evolution and history and the cycle of the generations and the lack of opportunity, I mean, how many people got out of the slave class throughout human history? Like, the Koreans had the longest unbroken chain of slavery in the world. How many people, I mean, very, very, very few, very, very, very few people got out of the slave class. I think Dr. Thomas Sowell has a bunch of examples of brilliant blacks in the antebellum South who bought their way out of slavery and invented things and started businesses and often bought other slaves. But 99.999% of serfs stayed serfs. 99.999% of slaves stayed slaves. And 99.999% of people who were raised like me never got out. We're not designed to. This is why it tends to be so repetitive and why it's so hard to break out. Because breaking out, you don't want to
genetically, you don't want to fall between two worlds. So let's say there's trash planet and then there's middle class planet, right? So if you try to cross from trash planet to middle class planet, and I write about this in my novel, The Future, which you should, if you haven't read that novel, my God, stop whatever you're doing except for listening to this, or read to or listen to that. It's a great book. Because you've got the striving classes, the nouveau riche, right? So if you try to get out of trash planet to middle class planet, you can easily fall through the cracks between. Too classy for trash planet, too trashy for middle class planet. Right? It's like the Apollo 13, right? You just get, your ship gets disabled between the Earth and the Moon, and maybe you just float on forever, right? If you stay in trash planet, your reproductive odds are high. If you get all the way over to middle class planet, your reproductive odds are lower because you're still not raised there, so you don't quite speak the language that well. But if you reproduce, you're happier and better off. But a lot of people get lost in the middle, right? A lot of people, like you, the decaying town, you got to cross the desert in the hopes, distant smoke on the horizon. In the hopes of getting to the village of reason, you got to leave the trash city, right? The slums, the ghettos. That's tough, man. I think about this like every day. I think about this every day that I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to live in a reasonably nice place. I'm not supposed to have, you know, a wonderful, well-educated, professional, loving wife. I'm not supposed to have a great relationship with my daughter. I'm not supposed to have quality friends. It's not what I was never, ever designed to get out, because really none of us are. And we're defying the odds. We're defying the physics of repetition compulsion, which is our gene survival metric. We're not supposed to get out. We're not supposed to get free, which is why it's so hard to do so. And why you have a negative experience of trying to get off trash planet, trying to break orbit from, you know, the Wally planet of infinite garbage and exploitation and just shitty people. Shitty people as a whole. All right. If you had a son, would you have encouraged him to play contact sports like American football or wrestling? Due to CTE concerns, would you try to dissuade the activity despite the character building benefits? Well, I think they have helmets now, so I think it's a little better, probably not in the wrestling, but, you know, it's a tough call. And the metrics have really changed because we have far fewer kids now, right? So because we have far fewer kids now, each kid becomes progressively more important because we don't have spares, right? An heir and a spare. And so because we have fewer kids now, female neurosis of danger has taken over male indifference to injury, right? So I don't know. If, let's say that football, maybe they get a helmet, but let's say football was the only sport he really wanted to do, I'd probably say go for it. Because let's say he doesn't do that, then he just sits on the couch and he gets injured by inactivity, right? There's no particular safety. There's nothing that's safe in the world, right? Activity is dangerous. You work out, you can pull muscles, weights can fall on you, you can, right, happens all the time. And if you don't work out, then your bones get soft and your muscles get soft and things are very bad as a whole, right? Oh, did Bitcoin just hit 95K? Damn, son. $200 down from the all-time high. So, yeah, there is no... There is no safety. Right? There is no safety. It is simply costs and benefits. The last few dates, thank you, Tom. The last few dates I've gone on, when the topic of kids come up, the women have no plan around kids beyond like, yeah, I want kids someday. These women are in their mid to late 20s. Have they really put no thought into this, or do they think displaying enthusiasm isn't attractive? Well, so by the time a woman is in her late 20s, it's really tough for her to say, I really, really want kids. Because then she looks like an idiot, right? Because then the question is, okay, well, if you really, really want kids, and you're in your late 20s, so you've been an adult for well over a decade, why don't you have kids, right? Why don't you have kids? So they can't say,
I really, really want to have kids, because then it would be like, well, why haven't you married? Why haven't you found a good father for your kids? Why haven't you settled down? Are you bad at planning? Are you bad at vetting people? Do you have bad character? Like, why haven't you done it? Why not? Hussy, right? Why haven't you done it? And if they say, well, I don't want kids, then they're going to chase away the guys who would be good providers and who themselves want kids, right? So they're hedging their bets, right? Yeah, I want kids someday, which means that it hasn't been a high priority for them, which explains why they don't have kids, but they're not also saying, I don't want kids, which would cut off guys who are good providers and want kids themselves. So it is just a strategy to explain why they haven't, well, you know, maybe one day. Like if somebody says they're 30, they say, oh man, since I was a kid, I've just been desperate to learn the piano, and they haven't even learned chopsticks, be like, well, what does that mean? You've been desperate to learn the piano, but you've never learned the piano? I mean, you can pick up a used piano for like $100, like a keyboard. Like, why haven't you learned the piano? I mean, even Owen Benjamin, no, I'm kidding. He's very good at piano. But it wouldn't make any sense, right? It's like, you know, somebody who's broke and has a decent job and says, I've always been desperate to save money. I've always been desperate to save money. Like, well, why haven't you then? It just makes them look stupid, right? Makes them look chaotic and without plans and without self-knowledge. So they're stuck there because of that. Okay, you guys pay off your debt. You hate debt. Current balance to pay off by the end of the month, a bit, but not a lot. I only have $2,000 of debt. I will pay it next week. Excellent. Okay, good, good. Yeah, stay off credit cards, man. Stay off credit cards. Stay off credit cards. Somebody says, oh, the anger regarding your parents is coming in waves. Some days I feel more anger. Some days, like today, I'm more lulled out and apathetic, even though they said and did so many horrible things. I'm really, really sorry for that. And if there's anything I can do to help with the call-in show, public or private, freedomain.com/call, I would love to help. And I'm sure it would help the community as a whole. And what I would say, though, the best way to deal with the anger towards your parents is to imagine them doing it to your child or to some other child you care about, some kid in the neighborhood. Like, that's why I talked about, like, your kid is having their lemonade stolen from them, right? The lemonade money, right? So think of your parents doing what they did to you, to your kid, or to some other kid you care about, and the anger will come, and that's a very good thing as a whole. Oh, Zim says, I'm so genuinely surprised that I very narrowly, may I add slash emphasize, made it out of the bubble, and I really try not to take it for granted. If it weren't for the internet, I wouldn't have learned the language of freedom. Ron Paul was my gateway drug. We love Ron Paul. Rand Paul, on the other hand, well, anyway, you can see the speech today. Few achieve escape velocity, right? Yeah, I don't want to make this about me, but I've listened to the future, but I feel stuck in the middle. Oh, I thought you meant stuck in the middle of the book. Right. Got it. Right. Thanks for your great explanation. I feel like I'm in that phase of exiting Trash Planet and working on entering the middle class zone. Yeah. Just get out, man. Get out. Try not to look back and condemn it all. Condemn it all. You know, when you get out of a tyranny, you burn your fucking passport, don't you? Not that I'm suggesting anybody burn their passport. This is just an analogy, right? But when you get out of a tyranny, you burn your passport so that you can't get back in. You can't be sent back in because you don't have a passport, right? You cut off your exit, right? Or cut off your way home, and you have no choice but to go on. So if you end up burning all of your bridges in Trash Planet, and everyone hates you in a sense or holds you in contempt, good! That means you won't be tempted to go back. Would me showing my enthusiasm around kids come across as stupid too, since I'm in my late 20s as well? No, I mean, nothing that you can explain with self-knowledge sounds stupid. You have to say, well, it wasn't a high priority for me. I wasted time. I dated the wrong people. I didn't know how to vet. I grew up badly. I've learned how to vet. I'm ready to, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Tony says, I'm listening to a great audiobook on how to start a business by being a penny pincher. It's authored by the guy Trump picked for the Department of Agriculture, Joel Salatin. The guy has a great business sense, says he's never even owned a car from the same decade. Oh, he hangs on to his cars. Yeah. Yeah. You can farm the Entrepreneur's Guide.
Yeah.
Steph, would you debate Owen Benjamin about Bitcoin? I don't think so. I mean, I debated the great Peter Schiff like 10 years ago about Bitcoin. There's no debate about Bitcoin anymore. There's no debate about Bitcoin anymore. You understand? Like, there is no debate about Bitcoin anymore. So it's all done. There's no debate. I mean, it's hard for people to admit that they're wrong. It is. And I won't speak for you. I've certainly had that challenge. So, I mean, I don't have any idea what the debate would actually be. Oh, okay. Somebody's doing let's block this person. Surely I can tell. Oh, they're gone, I guess. All right. Let me just refresh this. Got a little bit of spam happening over. Spam, 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 spam. Lovely spam. Wonderful spam, spam, spam. Spam, spam, spam. All right. All right. Penny opera time. All right. Other questions, comments, issues, challenges, problems? Going once, going twice. Support. Absolutely humbly and gratefully accepted. We are. You know, it's funny. I had some hope, I suppose, that support for the show would increase a little bit after the election. But I understand that times are tough, and I sympathize with that. So let's see here. A couple of days ago, Schiff said Schiff still thinks Bitcoin is wrong and its value in the future. About its value in the future, he was right on about the 2008 economic collapse. But I don't know why he's still in denial about Bitcoin. I mean, I can't possibly imagine why, but I mean, I suppose he's advised his clients to buy gold, right? If you've told people to invest hundreds of millions or whatever it is, I don't know what his number is, but if you've told people to invest in gold and that Bitcoin is a scam with no value, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, thank you for the tip? Are you going to say, yeah, I missed it, right? I heard your reason for not going back on major platforms. Is there any way we can convince you to enter the Zeitgeist arena again? Well, what is there that philosophy can do now? Right? What is there that philosophy can do now in the general social arena, right? I'm dating a woman in her early 30s who has very little dating experience, but she is very intelligent, curious, and conscientious. Well, the question is, if she has been an adult, let's say she's 33, just to make the math easy for my brain. So she's been an adult for 15 years, or maybe 17 years, since people often start dating around the age of 15 or 16. She's been an adult for about as long as she was a child, right? Or she's been in the dating arena, about 50-50, right? Why hasn't she dated? And what has she done instead? I mean, personally, if I see somebody in their 30s with very little dating experience, I just assume a masturbation addict. She's taken steps to get into dating, like hiring a dating coach. What questions should I be asking her? Well, obviously, don't ask her about her masturbation habits. But the question is, you know, why, right? Why? And, you know, without judgment, without like it's bad or terrible, but in general, the standard is to date. I mean, honestly, if you met a woman who was 33 and she says, I've never had a job, or I've only had one or two jobs, I think your first question is, well, what do you live on? What do you live on? I mean, okay, well, I'm independently wealthy, this, that, and the other. It's like, okay, well, then you don't have any particularly good job skills. And without job skills, maybe she doesn't have negotiation skills or know how to find value and establish value and so on. But it's like, well, why haven't you dated? The normal, natural, healthy development is to date. And it is without criticism. I'm just like genuine. To be curious is like a superpower. It really is just a superpower. I mean, you've heard me say this a million times on the call-in shows. Like, I'm not judging. I'm not saying whether you should or shouldn't. I'm just genuinely curious. Like, so I said, why haven't you dated? Well, I didn't find the right person. Okay, and that could be because she's just an incredible woman. And, you know, my wife was still single when I met her in her early 30s. But she is found it obviously tough to find someone that met her standards of quality. She was looking for a very, very intelligent man. And she found him eventually, right? But it took a while because she's, I mean, very smart and wise and virtuous. Now, I can't sing the praises of my wife. We'll be here all night. So why not? And why wait until your early 30s, right? Because that indicates a lack of planning, right? Why would you still be single in your early 30s? And again, none of this is disqualifying because there can be great answers. You know, I had a bad childhood. I got bad advice from my parents. Nobody seemed to care about it, but I've gone to therapy. I've got the bad people out of my life. I've confronted people. And I'm ready to move forward. Because you understand, you don't just, I mean, I have to remind this to be annoying nag guy. I have to remind men of this all the time. You're not dating her. You're dating a whole gene pool, right? You're dating a whole gene pool. So the question is not, why are you single? I mean, that is a good question, but the fundamental question is, how did your family and friends let you stay single? How is it possible that your entire family just let you stay single? Like, what did you, were your parents concerned? Did they say, listen, you've got a date, you've got to get some experience, even if it's not the perfect guy, you've just got to get used to being in a relationship because guys are going to ask you questions and they would be right to ask you questions. How did she slip through the cracks of a family that's supposed to care about her? Do you see what I mean? Like, how did that happen? How did it happen that people didn't care about her enough to make sure that she got some dating knowledge or experience, right? All right. Hey, Kairos, nice to see you again, my friend. And we got, hey, Steph, I don't know if you saw my post about Seed and Company on Locals. I posted the info I've seen around it. Good. I just wanted to say how I presented it in the stream was likely a misrepresentation, and you're right to implore me to be more skeptical, and I'm sorry for putting out bad info. I will donate on payday. Thank you for all your hard work. Appreciate that. Very honorably spoken, and I'm glad that we got to some truth, right? All right. I could potentially be single in my early 30s for those reasons and those tasks I've been doing to fix that problem. And those tasks I've been doing, sorry, I don't get that. How valuable is self-redemption through self-awareness? Oh, fantastic. Yeah, you're not responsible for the family you're born into, but you are responsible for the wisdom you extract from bad situations. So this person says about the woman in her early 30s, her mom would give her dating advice, but never told her directly that she needs to date. Interesting. never told her directly that she needs to date. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, occasionally my wife will remind me to eat. Oh no, I need to eat. My hands are shaking. Right? So occasionally my wife will be like, hey, have you eaten anything today? I'm like, I got involved in thought. And you know, these shows are workouts, right? Like when you think a lot, it uses up more calories in your brain. Like this is a couple of hundred calories sometimes for a show, like for a really intense, challenging show. It's like burning glucose like nobody's business, like smoke coming out of my ears, like the fires of Rohinen. But so generally, if I'm thirsty, I drink, right? So why would, doesn't she want to date? Doesn't she want to date? Where's the passion? Where's the drive? Because here's the thing. I mean, let's just be perfectly frank. If a woman can go, let's say that she's a virgin, or let's say she's only had one or two sexual partners over 17 years, right? So she can go without sex. Right? Do you really want to date a woman with such a low sex drive that she just doesn't really date? And again, I'm not saying she should have a body count in the ludicrous score. I'm just saying she can clearly do without romance, without sex, without love, without affection, without cuddling. I don't know, man. If you're really into irrigation farming, probably not great to buy a bunch of desert land, right? And that's probably not great. Yeah, I mean, my wife, somebody says the early stages of your wife's relationship. So she just wanted a guy who was very smart, and she was dating a very smart guy. But she wanted a guy who's very smart, and she says intelligence always shows up within in the eyes, and your eyes were the most intelligent I'd ever seen. Right? And, you know, I dare say that while I have my faults, a lack of intelligence is not one of them. That's not really a thing. Thank you, C2 Spark. As always, I really, really appreciate your support, and I thank you for that. Oh, yes, this is the fellow with the challenges with his parents. I was also left to be single, and I'm 24 and never been in a relationship. I've only been on two first dates in my life. I had a girl who was sexually interested in me, but I didn't want to mess with her since she had a boyfriend. It hurts to be 24 and not have much to show for in dating experience as a dude. Nobody in my life cared to bring this up ever. Yeah, and I'm really sorry. Like, you just, at some point, you just have to disagree with people who think you're worthless. At some point, you just have to fundamentally disagree with people who think you're worthless. All right. I love seeing you make libs seethe on Twitter saying your eggs are dying is funny. I don't think it's that funny. Our generation is cooked. We don't date or have sex. Yeah. And that's a very volatile situation because if society can't provide young men with opportunities to settle down, then young men have no allegiance to that society, and it usually ends in some sort of aggressive rebellion. Sorry, Sab. We want to avoid violence as much as possible, but a society that doesn't give young men and women an opportunity to settle down and have kids, well, what if young men and women got to lose at that point, right? Very sad. Two-thirds of young men are single. Yeah. It's a volatile situation. Any current political, social, cultural event is an opportunity to connect philosophy to outcomes. It's also great help. People practice practical reasoning to important modern problems. The arena awaits. Would love to see you in the arena again. You helped my whole family. Your contemporary commentary was a gateway to philosophy. Fantastic. I'm in the arena, right? I'm in the arena. I'm here, aren't I? Lead people to where I'm at. There is a cost-benefit calculation that occurs, right? Which is the dangers of continuing to do what I was doing were immense. right? The dangers of continuing to do what I was doing were immense. I'm willing to take on those risks, but not if people don't care. Did you follow? But not if people don't care. If people don't care that much about me, I'm not going to take on risks, right? You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to go slay the dragon, right? Or at least fight the dragon. Say, I'm going to go fight the dragon. Okay. But then if people are like, you know, the blacksmith says, well, I don't really want to sharpen your sword. I don't really care that much about the dragon, right? And then someone else says, well, I don't want to reinforce your armor because honestly, the dragon is not that big a deal. And someone else says, well, you know, I don't want to pack you any provisions to go and fight the dragon because, you know, that's like half a loaf of bread, man. And I mean, the dragon's not really that big a deal. And at some point, don't you say, well, why would I put my life on the line to fight a dragon when people don't really want to help me and clearly don't care that much about the dragon, right? And then if there are 1,000 people in the village, right? There are 1,000 people in the village and you say, okay, you know, I'm willing to fight the dragon, but I just need people to tell me that they care about it, right? Now, if of those 1,000 people, and this is not imaginary math, this is real math, there are 1,000 people in the village who all claim to be terrorized by the dragon. They want you to fight the dragon, man. You're the only guy who can do it, Steph. You're the only knight who can take on the dragon, man. And of those 1,000 people begging you to take on the dragon, 7 or 8 show up and say they think it would be nice. And of those 7 or 8 who show up and say, I think it would be nice, one of them gives you a little bit of material help. 1 out of 1,000. And I say this because my average videos, when I was deplatformed, my average videos did a bare minimum of 100,000 views each on YouTube, not counting the other platforms, right? And then when I moved over to other platforms, I got about 3% of that, right? So there's 1,000 people in the town. So you could say it's 30. I mean, it's a little bit of a change because the reason I cut it in half is because there are kids and people who can't hear or who don't know what's going on or senile or whatever, right? But let's say it's 30, right? So I went from 100,000 views down to 3,000 views, even though I was just one website over. And this is before I stopped doing politics. You understand? This is before I stopped doing politics. I went from 100,000 views down to like 3,000 views, which meant of the 1,000 people in the town, only 30 cared, right? Of the 1,000 people in the town saying, Steph, you got to do it. I'm like, okay, come over here and then tell me I got to do it. And only 30 people come over. And of those, only one person packs me a lunch. So out of the 1,000 people in the town, one person packs me a lunch and I'm supposed to go and fight the dragon. Do you see what I mean? Like, who would do that? Right? Now, if all 1,000 people come and maybe there's 2,000 people like, oh my gosh, we'll do anything we can to have you fight the dragon, maybe. That would be compelling. But the deplatformers did me a huge favor because they showed how many people were only in it for the entertainment and didn't take philosophy seriously at all. You've got to ask yourself this question. There are 1,000 people in the town, 30 show up saying that they're still interested. And because only about 3% of people donate, one person packed you a lunch. Would you go and risk your life to fight the dragon? I think to ask that question is to answer it. And again, it's not a problem. It's not a negative, because nothing that is real is positive or negative. Nothing that is real, nothing that is information is positive or negative. So, all right, let's just check here. Bitcoin just now briefly broke the 95,000 mark. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. No, the crowds are in the future, right? The crowds are in the future. And that's fine. I don't need to be here. The only purpose is not my ego, but what's best for philosophy. It's all that matters. It's not my ego, but what is best for philosophy. Is it best for philosophy that I run off on a fool's quest to fight a dragon that nobody really seems to care about? Well, no, of course that's not in the best interests of philosophy, right? I learned that much from my ancestor William Molyneux and John Locke, his best friend. I learned that much from Aristotle, and I learned that much from Plato. They went to fight dragons, and then they didn't. All right, any other last questions or comments? Let's see here. I understand and agree with your arguments for not being back on X YouTube. I don't have any choice. I mean, they haven't restored my account on YouTube, so I have no choice about YouTube. Sometimes I get a little black-pilled knowing how little interest there is publicly for philosophy. Yeah. People have chosen to learn by bitter experience, and that is their choice. Right? That is their choice. I have given people all the reasons in the known universe to learn through sweet reason and to learn through arguments. People have chosen to learn through bitter. Society as a whole has chosen to learn through bitter experience rather than sweet wisdom. Okay. The important thing for me, I don't have any control over that. The important thing for me is, do I have a good conscience, right, regarding all of that? Do I have a good conscience regarding all of that? And the answer is, I do. I do. I did everything I could. Honestly, I mean, if there's more that I could have done, I would love to hear it. I really would. And I don't mean that in any bitter or cynical way. Why is information not positive or negative? It's just facts. There's gravity. Is that positive or negative? 2 and 2 make 4. Is that positive or negative? It's just facts. You are wrong. Fight the dragon because it needs to be done. You are that man. Okay. So I put forward a whole layered argument there, and you're wrong. You are that man. It's like, why aren't you that man? Why do I have to fight the dragon? Why don't you? I mean, if you feel that fighting the dragon is so important, there's no fence between you and the dragon. Not even one. Not even one. You can go and fight the dragon. There's nothing stopping you. I'm not going to stop you, right? I'm not going to stop you. Totally get it now, Steph, the significance of your deplatforming on so many levels. Then we all say, charge, Steph, you were alone in the bunker. Well, no, not alone. We're here, we're chatting, and I really, really do appreciate that. I really do. I really do appreciate that. But people have told me very clearly that they don't take philosophy seriously, not you guys, right? The others. Then they've said, we choose to learn by bitter experience rather than sweet reason. Okay. So this is the show Intervention, right? Where people say to some guy who's a horrible drunk, we're not going to have anything to do with you unless you go to rehab. And sometimes they go to rehab and sometimes they just drink themselves to death. That was a guy with the tanning beds or whatever, tanning bed business, very wealthy. He drank himself to death. Okay, but I'm not going down with you. Right? You understand? You try to help people. You try to help people. I've tried, done this my whole life since I was a teenager. You try to help people. If they don't accept help, you don't go down with them. Hey, man, that boat's overloaded. You shouldn't go out in this storm. And if they go out, do you go out with them and continue to lecture them? No, because you're going to fucking drown. Oh, man, you shouldn't smoke, man. Smoking's really bad. Do you keep smoking with them to go? Do you go with them on that smoking journey? No. Hey, man, you shouldn't drink so much. It's bad for you. The person doesn't quit drinking. Do you just keep drinking with them? No. I say to people, Non-aggression principle, against me argument, peaceful parenting, I said all of that a zillion times. I handed the world on a platter the great holy grail of philosophy, which is the rational proof of secular ethics, sans gods and governments. Did that almost 20 years ago. And people said, no, I think we're going to learn through bitter experience. I mean, nice words, nice arguments, you know, good job, you know, entertainingly presented, and you've got a little bit of humor, a little bit of charisma, you can string a couple of sentences together worse than your average victim of Tourette's. But I think, no, I mean, you make a strong case, but I think we're just going to get fucked. I think we're just going to get fucked, and then we're going to maybe learn on the smoking crater on the other side of all this shit. I mean, we could organize our personal relationships and our family relationships and our friendships and our parenting according to the moral principles we all accept. We could do that, or we could risk Third World War with senile Biden lobbing U.S.-backed missiles through Ukraine into Russia. Oh, and also just decided to up the ante significantly by authorizing land fucking mines. Now, they are the kind of landmines that are supposed to deactivate after a couple of weeks, so they won't be blowing children's legs off, hopefully, for the next 50 years. But there you go. There you go. I mean, they let Trump get in, didn't cheat it too much, and now they just, I mean, how on earth Biden stays in is beyond me. Biden couldn't fucking authorize the purchase of a pack of Depends, for God's sakes. Biden isn't authorizing shit. Well, he is authorizing shit, technically. Yeah, Gonzalo Lira, right. Your book, RTR, Real-Time Relationships, has been super helpful. Almost finish it now. Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, Steph. I unfortunately did not have the parents to follow footsteps in quite literally no usable tools. You've given me an extensive toolkit, which I put into practice and can say I'm following in your footsteps. I appreciate everything you do. I'm living a great life that I'm happy to have now. Mwah. Congratulations, Bob. That thrills my heart and warms my cuckles. Thank you. Oh, the guy who said, go fight the dragon. Why don't you go fight the dragon? Because I suck. So if you say that you suck, which I don't think is true, but if you say that, then if you suck, then your advice sucks. Therefore, I shouldn't fight the dragon. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let me just get any other last tips, support, anything I've done helpful, let me know. I really do look forward to your tips and support. If you're listening to this later, of course, freedomain.com/donate. Yeah, I've got they have to 25th. Anyway, it's crazy. No, it's not the Bob. All right, just in case there are any last questions that are being typed in, just as we close off tonight. Thank you. I appreciate everybody who's been here tonight. It's wonderful to have these conversations with you, and the fact that we have all of these things recorded from here to eternity is beautiful and wonderful, and hopefully space aliens won't be decrypting this in 10,000 years from a still glowing set of ruins. But if we get consumed in a nuclear fire, the important thing is to go out with a good conscience. And if there is a God, hopefully he'll forgive me my skepticism and welcome me home. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful evening. Lots of love from up here. Take care, my friends. Bye.